You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Chad Middle.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Back Row Fantasy Show. I'm Bark. To my left is Arms.
What is up?
And to my right is not Niddle. It is actually Neil Tool.
Not even that.
It's Neil. It's Neil Crabtree, friend of the show.
Hello.
Hello, he says. He's filling in for Niddle tonight. Niddle is not with us.
He's dadding it.
Yeah. He's dadding it. He's watching SpongeBob, a little Hey Arnold, a little bit of Rugrats.
They still have Hey Arnold?
No, well, you can find it.
What is it on, like TV Land now?
Probably. Little Aw Real Monsters. Yeah, I knew so.
Little Howie Mandel, baby.
Neil, you got any Nickelodeon shows to throw in?
Just so you know, that's Howie Mandel is like the Will Smith of our childhood.
Bobby's World was awesome.
Like, yeah, he was Bobby's World. Yeah. He was Aw Real Monsters. He did something else that he was like a character on a TGIF type show. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, he had the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, had
hair. I don't remember that at all.
Howie Mandel with the curly hair,
yeah.
It looked like one big Jerry curl.
Yeah, it literally looked like a black Brillo pad just glued around his head, spray painted black.
Yeah, it did. And I can't remember what that is. We're going to have to get some research.
Get someone in our research department.
Where's our side producer at? Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. We have none.
Hashtag jobs for John.
Yeah. Ferris, come on. So we've got Neil with us. Neil is a... He does a little podcasting himself. Is that correct, Neil?
Yes, I delve into Magic the Gathering podcast.
Yeah, and he's going to start his own podcast soon. And of course, you know, the back row will be shouting that one out.
And Neil also has, I don't know, decade and a half of fantasy football experience as well.
Absolutely.
He's one of the OGs in my first Dynasty League.
I don't do well, but I try.
He was there, though.
Yeah, he was there.
I have played fantasy football with the same group of fellas for literally a decade and a half.
It's all good, though. It's all good in the hood.
It is.
We enjoy it.
We're going to go straight in. We'll find something to be humorous about on the way. But we're going to jump right into tight ends, the ones that were drafted in 2018.
Hold on. Really?
What?
We're going to go straight there and just ignore C.J. Anderson getting signed to the Panthers?
There we go. There's my boy knowing his stuff.
Okay.
Y'all see the way he's looking at me right now. I think it is news.
I guarantee it's news.
Twitter's showing CJ Anderson no love. Now, don't get me wrong.
I don't like CJ Anderson either.
Neither do I.
But someone thought enough to pay the damn man.
And someone named Christian McCaffrey can't be that excited about CJ Anderson coming to Carolina.
I kind of like it. I think he actually needs it. He can't be the every down guy.
You think it'll be good for Christian McCaffrey?
I think it helps McCaffrey's stock.
Good way to look at it.
I will tell you that I tend to agree. If you remember a few, probably a dozen shows ago or so, I said that the best fit for Mark Ingram would have been going to Carolina to basically make CMC Alvin Kamara.
But I think fantasy owners were thinking that Christian McCaffrey was, one, going to be the PPR beast that he is.
He is. And he's still going to be.
I think people mistakenly thought that he was going to start running up the middle a lot more and become a true three-down workhorse. And that's not really Christian McCaffrey's game. I think he was drafted high enough to where it should be, but it's not.
The NFC South is a whole different animal from the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade here. They don't exactly play any sort of defense out there. And generally speaking, they might pass through one or two stud defensive linemen a year, but it's not like playing in the SEC. You know, he's not going to break tackles at this level up the gut. There's far too many talented linebackers, defensive tackles, defensive ends, and safeties that are not going to let him get free.
And regardless, I think he's going to be pretty stellar because somebody's going to catch the ball and it's going to be him. I still see him putting up Danny Woodhead numbers from back in the day.
I agree.
I agree, too. I also think he was drafted at a spot to where I think you have to make him a three-down back at some point to justify his draft capital. Maybe Carolina doesn't care about draft capital, but most teams seemingly do. But C.J. Anderson coming in, obviously, C.J. Anderson's going to get 10 to 15 carries a game.
And there's no doubt about it. C.J. Anderson is their goal line back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, easily.
I mean, unless they still have Mike Tolbert, which I'm unaware of.
Right.
I'm sure they do. He's on like a geriatric contract or something.
Yeah. I that's good research too, because I can't remember if Tolbert is still there or not.
I'm like 90% sure he is.
Well, to be fair, even last year when he had Stewart there, Stewart wasn't getting it done either.
Yeah, but C.J. Anderson's a better version of Jonathan Stewart than Stewart is.
You know? Yeah, and he's younger. Yeah. But granted, he will go down with an injury or, you know, with cramps.
That's the truth.
Or something.
But he's also not 5'2" and 127 pounds.
No.
CMC is. No, he's like 5'10", what, 185, 190?
Something like that.
He's not a big guy. And if I'm worried about someone getting injured, it's going to be the slighter frame gentleman versus the fullback-looking monster that C.J. Anderson is.
And Tolbert is a free agent.
That's what I thought. I thought they cut him.
As of right now.
Yeah, as of right now.
Tolbert will be catching, you know, one to two balls a week out of the Carolina backfield.
At some point. But bottom line, Christian McCaffrey, I think you can downgrade him a little bit. I think if you drafted him in PPR to be a PPR stud, I think he's still going to be a PPR stud. I don't think you have anything to worry about. But if you're counting on him as a locked and loaded running back one, volume dependent, no. No, I don't think that's Christian McCaffrey.
I think all of his volume's in the passing game anyway.
Most of it, which doesn't mean he's a safe weak start in anything other than PPR.
And once he gets the high teens and points, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He matched Leonard Fournette as far as like
in PPR.
Almost point for point in PPR last season.
That's
so
all we asked for. That's what you expect, really.
Yeah.
Now, I don't necessarily expect him to approach 10 touchdowns.
No.
But
80 to 90 catches.
I was going to say 80 catches is well within the range. But if you take, I mean, very realistically, let's look at the numbers that he's probably going to put up. Nobody's going to be disappointed if he puts up 600 rushing yards because he's going to put up 800 receiving yards. That's a 1,400-yard season.
It is.
Toss in six touchdowns, and you have a top 10 fantasy running back.
That's where I think that fantasy owners have gone awry a little bit. I think they were expecting something in the tune of 750 rushing yards to go along with that borderline 1,000, you know, yard passing.
But that's unrealistic. You're asking for
it is, but I mean they didn't draft anyone.
Right.
So what's that tell? Like that gives all those CMC owners hope that he is going to be their everything. They're one and only.
There is another dark side to it though, because I think DJ Moore kind of does what he does also, as far as the type of matchups he.
Well, I said the same thing about. The kid from Ohio State.
Samuel.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel.
Well, DJ Moore does similar roles as far as all the slot and everything, too, which McCaffrey does the same thing.
So it's almost like they have three of the same player.
Right, exactly.
And I'm talking, like, literally a step difference in every measurable, an inch difference in height. I mean, it's ridiculous whenever you look at all three of them athletically, you know, comparing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so. C.J. Anderson, what is his ceiling in Carolina? I'm going to put him at 500 yards.
See, I disagree. I think he's going. I think he's going to be the actual carry the ball type guy.
I think Christian McCaffrey gets some more opportunities. I just don't expect a huge jump. I expect more, and I expect, you know, I still think they'll use Cameron Artis Payne a little. I'm not talking fantasy relevance. I'm talking like Cameron Artis Payne running for 350, right. CJ running for 5.
I see 4 to 6 out of CJ, and possibly 4 to 6 touchdowns also.
Yeah, so don't go nuts picking him up in leagues. I mean, right. If he's free, grab him if he's free. But bottom line, Christian McCaffrey, not much of a downgrade in PPR, but you can downgrade him safely everywhere else.
Correct.
Now, Arms, do I have your permission to jump into the tight ends?
Well, there's a rumor that Navarro Bowman could come back to the Raiders. I haven't seen any signings on that, and that could be that could have. I think it'd have a bigger fantasy impact for Bowman, obviously, than it's going to have a hurt on anyone else on that team.
I figure where they didn't land Roquan Smith, that they could. Bowman could end up right back there. So that makes a lot of sense.
Now they did sign Tahir Whitehead.
In Oakland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Why do I always say his name wrong? I think it's Whited, but it's spelled Whitehead. Anyhow, they did sign him, but I still think Bowman ends up being the man if he does re-sign. They'll probably kick Whited to the outside.
Yeah, Whitehead can play anywhere back there. So you could probably throw him at safety, and he'd be just fine.
Yeah, definitely.
You might be able to throw him at corner.
He would be an upgrade over at least one corner we have.
Yes.
I don't know about all that, but he's a good football player, that's for sure. All right, so
let's
proceed.
All right, now that I have Arms' full permission to proceed with this podcast, let's go in the order that they were drafted. Should we play any kind of NFL music? Dun, 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 dun,
no.
Dun, okay.
No.
Okay. Well, at least you won't hear no Rocky Top tonight. Niddle's not here.
Definitely not.
That's spectacular.
There will be no Rocky Top music. All right. Hayden Hurst was drafted first. First tight end in the draft, 28th overall, to a tight end needy team in Baltimore.
Great spot.
It was for, what, 3 rounds? And then they drafted another one.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not worried about Mark Andrews. We'll get to him eventually, I'm sure, but... I'm not worried about Mark Andrews, but what I am worried about is that Hayden Hurst will be retired in about 4 years because he's not young.
Well, let's hope he's already mature, though. That's the thing. Yeah. Good head on his shoulders and ready to go, because I know watching him a lot, the South Carolina stud.
I mean, he's definitely a good athlete, definitely was productive in South Carolina, but there was rumblings halfway through the season that Mark Andrews was the number one tight end in this year's draft class.
Right, definitely
so
was.
So they did this a few years ago, and we got a lot of hype over, was it Crockett, Gilmore, and Max Williams?
Oh, yeah.
And then nothing. Like, it's like, just please replace Todd Heap. Just please, just find somebody to do it.
Or even Dennis Pitta, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Replace Dennis Pitta.
They signed, whenever Dennis Pitta was drafted, they had drafted somebody else. I want to say Ed Dixon or something like that.
Sounds legit.
I'm 99% sure that's actually whenever, like, they draft two at a time.
Right.
And if you have two tight ends, unless you're the Patriots, you have no tight ends.
Could that be a part of Flacco's issues, though, is that he hasn't had a reliable tight end?
Some of it.
But they keep addressing it.
Likes to throw to him.
I mean, at what point do we say that we've now drafted 6 tight ends and all of them have flamed out?
They're all terrible.
I mean, only people who are remotely relevant is Ben Watson and Todd Heap.
Dennis Pitta.
Pitta was okay, but he just kept getting injured.
Well, you know.
When he played, he was good, though.
I do agree there.
I do like Hayden Hurst. I've got him ranked as my number 2 rookie tight end on the board behind the next guy we'll talk about. But I think you can draft him safely. I think he is a safe late second round rookie dynasty selection. I think he's safe as far as getting on the field and possibly producing immediately. I think he's safe with Mark Andrews there even. I think Hayden Hurst is the better receiving option, and I think they drafted him in the first because he was a great receiving option. So for me, he's the second ranked rookie tight end in this draft.
I would have easily took him if I had the opportunity in the late second. I don't see you going wrong there at all. And if he's still there in the third round, you got snagging just for value.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I did. I think I grabbed him in an early third in one draft, and I was really happy to get him.
I mean, I would have liked him a lot better. I would have liked him probably as the 1-2 if they didn't draft another tight end. That's just my opinion on it.
Not scared of Andrews for some reason. I'm not sure why.
This is the guy to compete for the job. That's all it's going to be to me.
Why spend the draft capital on him?
For the same reason, the next tight end on the list, their team, my Miami Dolphins drafted two tight ends as well.
They did.
I mean, it's more common than you think. We just tend to overlook it. A lot of teams draft the receiving guy and the blocking guy. Not saying Mark Andrews is purely a blocker. But I think he's going to be used more as a blocker than Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is going to be used a lot like a wideout.
Yeah, he's got the size.
And the speed.
Yes.
He's a gamecock, baby.
Yeah, okay.
Arms is so excited. Where do you got him? Where's your rookie ranking on him, and where would you take him in dynasty drafts?
I mean, I don't think you're going to make a terrible mistake if you're in the second
half. You have my permission to tell me.
In the second half of the second round. But I feel like there's some IDP guys I'm willing to target in the first half above him. And there's probably some other tight ends I'd probably like to take a shot on above him.
I would take one guy over him, and that's it.
And that guy's name is probably Mike Gesicki.
Yes. Dude's phenomenal.
The next guy drafted. And he couldn't have went to much better of a situation because Ryan Tannehill's not a deep ball thrower. Ryan Tannehill used Charles Clay extremely efficiently in their time together. Ryan Tannehill hasn't had a wide receiver worth a crap since Charles Clay, and now he gets the most athletic tight end in the draft, a guy that I think is super safe. Bust potential is at a minimal level, and his ceiling is outrageous. Mike Gesicki was a fantastic pickup by Miami. He's my number one tight end overall, and I would draft him in the late first round. I haven't, and I've passed on him. But I would if I needed a tight end badly. I don't feel like I needed a tight end in my league, so I did let him slip past me.
Depending on how needy I am, I would take him in the late first. I can't pass on a guy. He has like a 40-plus inch vertical, 41-inch vertical.
He's got hands like frying pans, size-wise like frying pans.
He dropped two balls in his college career.
But I'm talking size.
I know. I'm just adding to it.
They're both catcher's mitts. They just...
We got that tape measure. We might have to measure Neil's hands
now. If it touches his hand, he is going to catch it. He's not going to blow past anybody. He never does. He might get a step on a linebacker.
He's a 4'6 guy or something like that on the field.
But he can jump. He's got hops. Yeah. He can get open. I'm excited.
And with Tannehill, I think he's going to love the fact that he actually ran a lot of RPO, run pass option in college too, which might be kind of like a Charles Clay role also. So I like that a lot.
I do too. That's why he's my number one. And I don't have anybody close to him. I think Hayden Hurst even is a distant second in this draft compared to Gesicki.
Come from being a Pats fan, then I don't see any of my guys at the DB area being able to cover him at all.
Hopefully not.
Not at all.
Hopefully not. Because
he boxes people out and everything. I just can't see it.
He gives my Miami Dolphins some hope. I am hopeful that he will help old torn ACL Tannehill become something better than, a mid-range quarterback, but time will tell. I have another guy, and I know Arms' response to this. This guy would have been in consideration for my number one tight end overall.
Other than draft position, other than where he went.
Yes.
Right.
But poor Dallas Goedert. I still think eventually he becomes what he's supposed to be, which is a freaking good tight end. But he just landed in a rough spot. Zach Ertz is one of the best in the game. Dallas Goedert will still get his opportunities. Trey Burton got his opportunities, but Goddard's probably not going to be the guy that gets the targets over Zach Ertz consistently. I like him. I would still take him in the third round of rookie drafts, but he's very distant behind the first two guys we mentioned there. Talent's there. His draft spot was rough for me.
His draft spot was very rough. If he would have went to a tight end needy team, no doubt in my mind, right, he was the one or the two. I mean, you can make the argument all day, him or Gesicki, from a what you think they're going to do on the field standpoint, because Goddard's game tape is ridiculous.
Oh, yes.
It looks like Rob Gronkowski over and over and over again. He's hard to tackle. He catches with one hand. His catch radius is like 9 feet. It's insane. But he ends up as the number two tight end. Now, with that being said, Ertz is a move tight end. Ertz has got some speed. He's going to be outside. He's going to be split out a little bit. If they do run a lot of tight end sets, you could see a potential, a little bit of an outbreak out of Goddard this year. But you're taking a chance if that's who you're putting stock in.
I'm actually kind of more hyped about the guys who didn't actually get drafted in a lot of fantasy drafts more than him. Not to say he's not a good player, because he obviously is, but as far as projected points, I don't see it happening.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, there are some guys. There are some later round guys that I'm more intrigued by, like, at the price. There's some guys. I kind of like Ryan Izzo. I like Ryan Izzo. I mean, Gronk's not going to play forever. Wasn't really planning on talking about Izzo, but guys like Ryan Izzo that have more opportunity already than Dallas Goedert to possibly be a starter as soon as 2019, that's intriguing to me.
I was definitely going to bring him up.
I figured you would. He's wearing a Patriots shirt to this podcast.
The guy's a stud, but he's not exactly like a – he's not great in one area. He's going to be a good serviceable guy. He's not exactly Gronk.
But who is? I mean, Gronk at this point is one of a kind in his career.
How much field is Gronk seeing anyway?
Solid. A great 10 games a year.
Solid. The best 10 games you can get.
Mark it down, huh?
You know, I mean, whenever he's on the field, he's the best tight end. But he's also not on the field 100% of the time. And that makes it a little bit difficult whenever you're comparing him to a Kelce or an Ertz.
I just got a new one-liner.
What's that?
The best part of waking up. Put Gronk in your lineup or not. Who knows? You don't know if he's going
to
play.
Just hope to God Gronk is not a Monday night game. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might as well go with Ryan Izzo if it's going to be a Monday night game. Roll out the Izzo, the Izzy, the Hizzy.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. That makes a heck of a handcuff. I mean, because you should be able to get him for cheap because nobody's buying him.
I've bought him in every league I could so far.
Of course you have, Mr. Pats fan.
Yes, no doubt. Of course you have, Neil.
I brought him up. It's my fault. I kind of like him. I think I think he's a tight end sleeper out of this draft.
Well, I think the kid that went to Dallas has got potential too.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz is very – I mean, he does have potential. He wasn't a high-regarded prospect, but you can't overlook him being drafted in the fourth round. A fourth rounder is not a throwaway pick.
Exactly.
And Jason Witten's gone. Rico Gathers hasn't been able to stay healthy. Dalton Schultz could surprise. That's another sleeper.
It's kind of hard to evaluate, though, considering Dak didn't necessarily use Witten too much, did he?
Nah, I mean, Witten still had fantasy-relevant seasons.
My question. I had him. He wasn't necessarily blowing it out of water like he used to.
No, but. I mean, Romo had more eyes for him than Dak, but I agree with Arms over here. To me, I don't like Dak in fantasy, and I don't like the weapons around Dak in fantasy.
I think it's more Dak than the talent around him. Like, you hate on Dez Bryant constantly. You pretty much want to stab Dez Bryant in the face. But you know what?
Not true.
I know.
And the neck would be more
accurate. That's very strong.
But ultimately, I think Dez Bryant is still a really solid NFL wide receiver. But
don't disagree.
But Dak isn't producing stud receivers. Ultimately, he's a good runner. Like, from a quarterback position, he's a good runner. And he's got Zeke. And he's not wowed me. He did not take a step forward like everybody anticipated him to do so.
Don't get me wrong, because his rookie season, I was impressed. He was accurate. He was really good short to mid-range thrower. And I think he can get back there, but I don't see him as ever being elite.
I wanted to dislike him at times during his rookie season, but he did shine a good bit. But like last year was very lackluster to me.
Yeah, he definitely let some fantasy owners down. People were expecting top five, and he was more like that, 10 to 15 range. So, Dak, we're sorry. Not feeling you. Mark Andrews, we'll get to him. There's really no one left, except if you want to throw a sleeper here and there. But Mark Andrews, I still see him being drafted late third, beginning of the fourth. If you have an abundance of picks and you took Hayden Hurst, you might as well take Mark Andrews too and throw him on the taxi squad. Or if you believe in Mark Andrews' talent, some do. Can't say not to pick him, because after Mark Andrews, the fall off is pretty steep.
I also did want to talk about Ty Conklin a good bit, though.
Conklin, based on landing spot.
Well, it's like, for example, I have Randolph in a bunch of leagues, and I'm actually scared of Conklin.
And Rudolph.
Yes, Rudolph.
Yeah. Rudolph. A lot of people really they love him, and they say, well, Kyle Rudolph's not touchdown dependent. He absolutely is touchdown dependent. All of his success, whenever he's a top 10 guy, it's because he's scoring a lot of touchdowns. I mean, I don't know the exact statistics and what he's actually putting up catch-wise a year, but it's not a whole heck of a lot. And he's not doing a ton with him unless it's in the red zone. I mean, he's not getting past anybody. He's a lumbering type of guy. He's not overly athletic. He wins the body control battle.
I'll throw two more out. I won't talk in depth, but Chris Herndon, and from Miami that went to the Jets. The Jets do not have a tight end on their roster that is worthy of starting, in my opinion. They have Clive Walford. They have your boy from Clemson. Yes.
He's not that great though.
No, and Chris Herndon, you know, his season was ended by injury. If he's healthy, he could end up being something for the Jets. And Ian Thomas, the opening is going to be there probably next year. Greg Olsen's not going to be around forever. Ian Thomas is solid enough to where he could maybe make an impact and surprise us another year down the road.
I think Herndon he has a good chance to actually open up as a starter.
Yeah, he's definitely the most natural pass catcher.
Especially for Leggett. He's not that great.
Yeah, there's no tight end that has pass catching chops like Herndon, and that's not to say that Herndon's going to be great. It's just situation, opening, you know. If you need a tight end, you didn't draft one, grab him on free agency, put him on the taxi, take a chance.
Okay, what about Troy Fumagalli?
Well, let's just talk about them all.
I mean,
well, we have like less than 10 or less people that's actually relevant.
You're right. Jake Butt is the guy who's going to eventually be the guy, but that's not a given. So, I mean, situation, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's got an opportunity to go, and he's going to compete for the day one for the job. They don't have anything in Butt. It's not like Butt's this, you know, superstar that you got to push off the field.
No.
I mean, Fumagalli's got every opportunity to go in there, win the job, you know, coming out of training camp.
Right.
Now, with that being said, is he going to be an absolute stud? Probably not. You know, Case Keenum, solid quarterback. Not a great quarterback. Let's just go ahead and call a spade there. he now has three very good receiving options, in my opinion. And I think the tight end, regardless in that offense, gets left out a little bit, but it wouldn't surprise me if Fumagalli ends up as the starting tight end at the end of the year, or by the beginning of the year.
I like Butt still. I think Butt has Jason Witten like upside. I'm not saying he's going to realize it and live it out, but I think Butt is going to be good. Okay. I think there's going to be some good Butt in Denver.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that.
All right. IDP time. We won't touch on this much. The position anyways. I feel kind of bad. Niddle loves him some IDP, and maybe we'll let him have his own little mini Niddle segment. Niddle's IDP segment.
No 10 way.
10-minute show.
No way. He wasn't here. I don't want to hear it.
That's true.
That's his fault.
Quiddle. Old Quiddle.
Old Quiddle.
All right. Bradley Chubb. There's not many defensive ends in this draft that I personally am looking at in the draft. Obviously, Bradley Chubb, I am looking at late third round or fourth round. If he falls to you in the fourth, grab him. Just grab him. He's got all the upside of Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Without the risk of that low floor. Bradley Chubb is going to be good.
Absolutely.
He may not be all pro every year good, but he's going to be good. The floor is safer than Myles Garrett, and the potential is just as high. So, Chubb.
Not as much risk either, I believe.
Huh?
Not as much risk as Garrett either.
No, not as much risk at all. So, I mean, don't let him go undrafted. I'm sure he won't. Like, he's not going to go undrafted. But if he falls to you and one of your offensive targets are gone, or if you just simply need a defensive end, get you some Chubb. Become a Chubby chaser.
And the thing about Chubb, as of right now, they've got him as a true defensive end. I mean, they're going to have him on the field in pretty much all situations right now. I don't foresee him being the type of player that they move to, you know, outside linebacker like a DeMarcus Ware or a Von Miller or anything like that. So, I mean, he's going to get the repetitions, and he's in a good situation with a solid defense out
right.
there. Right. A little bit concerning on the back end. Their secondary starting to get a little bit older. Probably not a lot of, holding on to the ball too long type sacks. He's got to get off the ball and get to him. But, you know, ultimately he does land in a good spot.
And don't sleep on the defensive ends and stuff like that in fantasy.
No, they could make a world of difference.
Yeah. Bosa made a good difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bosa made a difference. DeMarcus Lawrence made a difference. Yes. JJ Watt in years past made a difference. Those were lineup advantages.
Not elite talent anyway. You have to never sleep on those guys.
Nope. It's all about your starting lineup, fellas. If you need a top defensive end to round out your starting lineup to have that edge on the next guy, by all means, go get you a top defensive end. Don't just rest with
don't take a stab on the 52nd receiver taken when Bradley Chubb's staring in your
right.
eyes.
Right.
I mean, because if you're taking a stab on the 52nd receiver taken, odds are you probably need a little bit of help somewhere else too.
Yeah, you don't want to end up with Adam Gotsis as one of your starting defensive ends in fantasy. Just don't do it. Jared Crick, I've been there. Don't do it. Yeah. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
How I feel, or like a situational guy, Carl Lawson in Cincinnati.
You yeah.
You don't want to be stuck with like, oh, do I start Michael Johnson or Carl Lawson?
How long did we? How long did some of us sit and wait for? Was his name Margus Hunt on Cincinnati? That
right.
6'6" beast that they drafted as a prospect. Like, how many years do people stash him on the taxi or just hold and hope because of his size? Like, you know, don't sit with guys like that. Michael Johnson, like, oh, he used to be good. Michael Johnson's he's my starting defensive end. Like, well, good. Good luck drafting next year.
I'm usually falling victim to just picking up random guys off the free agent list to fill in gaps in defensive end, and I'm trying to change that.
Yeah, and ultimately, if you need help defensive end, you have to draft him. And honestly, guys, nobody else is.
No.
The one question mark, you got to be careful in an IDP league of seeing where these defensive ends go, because some of them are going to get moved outside linebacker. And if they're listed as a linebacker, their value just falls off the charts.
Right, definitely.
I mean, not everybody's going to be Joey Bosa or J.J. Watt and be able to put up the numbers to where it's like, you know what, even if they did move them out, they're still going to be productive. Not everyone's going to put up linebacker numbers from that defensive end type position.
And that leads me to the next guy. There's a chance his designation in MyFantasyLeague.com is linebacker. If not, I'm taking the chance on him all day because the – drop off after Marcus Davenport is steep. And Marcus Davenport, for what they paid to go grab this guy, God, I hope they play him at defensive end. I'll draft him all day in the fourth round of every single draft I'm in. But if he's a linebacker, I'm not drafting him, and I'm not paying more than a couple football bucks for him.
And he's in a beautiful landing spot. The kid will never take a double team. I mean, he's going to have one-on-one all day, every day, because you have to account for Cam Jordan. I mean, this kid's going to be
if he plays defensive end.
Yeah, if he's a defensive end, that's where he's designated. He's going to have a chance free run at, you know, against the right tackle constantly. And that, guys, that's a very nice spot to be in for a defensive end.
But the Saints' defense need to get any better.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already shown much improvement. This is only going to be even better for them.
I said in a past episode that they should focus and continue to use first-round picks on defense.
Yes.
Because their offense doesn't need any help.
A couple other players to go down the line a little bit. Rasheem Green going to Seattle. You know, as a defensive end, their defense is starting to age out a little bit. You know, a few years ago, we were looking at, man, this is a team that's built to make run after run after run after the Super Bowl, because they were all second, third-year players. And there's one thing you could say about Pete Carroll. I'm not a big Pete Carroll fan, but my God, he coaches up young guys. And he gets the most out of them within the first two or three years in the league. And it wouldn't surprise me if Rasheem Green ended up in two or three years as one of the top 10 defensive ends in the league.
I know we're going to go back and forth on this, but Kamoko Ture and Tyquan Lewis, both those guys drafted by Indy. Anybody drafted high by Indianapolis defensive-wise has a shot to play, because their defense is by no means set. Right. I mean, it should be wide-open competition.
You pronounce terrible wrong. Their defense is terrible.
Would I say terrible?
The only question with players like Tyquan Lewis is, what's he going to be?
Yeah, what's he going to be? Because he could be a linebacker.
He could.
But still, I mean, you know, undrafted. These guys aren't going to get picked in your four-round rookie dynasty leagues. You're going to have a chance to bid on these
guys. Yeah, and you're going to be looking at, you know, even a Sam Hubbard's going to be sitting there probably outside of a four-round rookie draft.
I've seen Sam Hubbard drafted, but we're from Ohio as well, so yeah, that's probably why.
That's a little bit of location bias right there.
It is. But then you like Arden Key a lot. I know that. Now, I know you're not going to draft him.
I'll tell you what, I will take a very late-round flyer on Arden Key, because kind of in the same thing as Marcus Davenport. If you're going opposite of probably the best pass rusher in the game in Khalil Mack, once again, you're going to be one-on-one constantly. And if Arden Key can, you know, turn that athleticism that he has into, you know, on-field production, Arden Key's going to be an absolute monster as well.
He's definitely a high upside prospect.
Yeah, I mean, and for years we've been waiting on Mario Edwards to do something. And he keeps breaking his neck.
And Jihad Ward.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
But Ward's only been, I think, for a year, and I want to say he was hurt. I mean,
I think he was. But, I mean, if you don't seize the opportunity quickly, guess what? Teams go out and they draft Arden Key.
NFL stands for not for long if you're injured.
Absolutely. Is there any defensive ends, Neil, besides these guys that you're looking at or that you watched and have a high opinion of?
Besides the obvious, I'm not really actually high on the class this year. That's all. Next year is the big hype for me, but not currently this year.
I'll tell you a guy who kind of can tween and probably never come off the field, and that's Deshaun Hand out of Alabama. Deshaun Hand,
I agree.
Now, this is high praise, and I don't want to get this misconstrued. He's a very Justin Tuck-like player because Deshaun Hand can play defensive tackle or defensive end, and he's going to be very competitive at both spots. So there's no doubt in my mind that if he earns a starting position, he's not coming off the field at all. Whether he kicks inside to bring a little bit more athletic pass rusher on the edge during obvious passing situations, I think once he seizes the opportunity, he's actually going to be someone who – not we don't see this a lot more high tackle for a defensive lineman.
It does happen sometimes, so yeah, that's another name to keep an eye out for. Like Neil said, I'm kind of with Neil. I'm not the biggest on this draft class at defensive end, which is going to transition really well over to defensive tackle, because there's really only one guy I'm looking at. Of course, it's Vita Vey, but let me tell you something, I haven't drafted him in any league and he's not on my top 75 IDP rankings. One of those reasons is, despite his athletic ability, his high draft pedigree, and the fact that he's going to be an absolute stud at defensive tackle, he is. He's going to be a stud. But his comparison is to Haloti Ngata, who has also been a stud, who is also...
Tweener, defensive end, defensive tackle.
Great. But is Haloti Ngata on any of your fantasy teams?
No.
That's why Vita Vey won't be on mine.
But ultimately... Vita Vey, I believe, will be a really, really good, quite possibly work his way to an all-pro level defensive tackle.
I agree.
The problem is he's going to be a better football player than he is a fantasy player, even in IDP formats.
Well, and fantasy is defensive end. Defensive end, defensive end. Do I have a defensive tackle on my team? Yes. So you can just erase everything I said. Not really. I like David Irving in Dallas. He was free, so I got him. But I'm not spending a draft pick on Vita Vey. Just can't do it.
If you do, do it late.
Do you guys have anyone else at defensive tackle worth drafting, worth considering, worth a waiver wire pickup at all?
Always talk about the interior lineman, interior defensive line.
Yeah.
Maurice Hurst.
I like Mo Hurst. I was really hoping Miami would grab him. They have a need there as well. Are you going to spend a pick on him, Neil?
No, why not spend a pick?
He is worth watching, though.
I've got a nose tackle. Guess where he's playing?
Probably Oakland.
Oakland. P.J. Hall. You know, one of our Damon's favorites at Draft Diamonds.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, the guy is a tackle for loss monster. And if he can translate that to the NFL, it's very difficult to know whether he's going to. He played at Sam Houston State.
You know, it touches my heart that you listen to the episodes where it's just me in an interview.
I black you out, and I just listen to the other guy.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And whenever you ask a question, I'm like, I wonder what that question was. Oh, well, that guy's got to get in, but... But P.J. Hall, very productive, got a lot of tackles in the backfield, very high motor, no quit in him. You know, not a lot of questions as far as what he did at Sam Houston State. The problem is, how does it translate to the next level? Here's the thing with P.J. Hall. You can wait until the third week of the season and probably pick him up for a couple fantasy football dollars.
Right.
I mean, very realistic. Just be one of those guys to keep an eye on. So. And even if, you know, after week three, if he's got four tackles a game, 3 weeks in a row, there, take a stab at him. If he has none, well, you didn't lose anything, right? So, anyhow, on to linebackers?
Yeah, bread and butter, baby. Let's take a look at inside linebackers. And there's more to talk about for sure. But the first one drafted, true inside linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch. Probably going to be, in my opinion, a better football player and a big time playmaker, but I'm not exactly sure he's going to rack up tackles for your fantasy team. So to me, he is a mid to late third round pick in rookie dynasty.
He kind of scares me just because of lack of actual
a defined path of playing.
Exactly. I don't know. Just no big game experience, I would say. I mean,
well, yeah, and you've also the problem. My only issue with Leighton Vander Esch is, do you want to handcuff a linebacker? Because he's Sean Lee's handcuff is what he is. And, you know, I think Jalen Smith's going to come out of his own this year, and he's going to be a stud. And can they produce two stud linebackers? Absolutely.
Well, they just need one to stay healthy.
He'll definitely have playing time because Anthony Hitchens is gone, but is it going to be enough playing time to justify drafting him as one of your starting linebackers?
I think so, considering obviously none of them could stay healthy.
That is true.
I will say.
It's still a risk.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's not cut. It wouldn't surprise me if he starts 10 games this year. No. Like, if I'm going to take a risk on somebody who doesn't have a starting job today at inside linebacker, it's Leighton Van Der Esch. Because I believe, you know, Roquan Smith's got a starting linebacker job. Tremaine Edmonds got a starting linebacker job. No doubt about it.
And Tremaine Edmonds, I see it being much better.
But Leighton Van Der Esch, he's very Sean Lee-like. You know, a smart guy. I'm not saying he's going to be Sean Lee, but he's not a far cry from what he is athletically and football smarts-wise. Let's just hope they do that and get his bell rang quite as often as Sean Lee and doesn't, you know, continuously have to be taken off the field.
If Dallas drafted this guy because they think he's going to stay healthy for 10 years and do nothing else but stay healthy, great pick, Dallas. Great pick. You finally drafted somebody healthy that eats their Wheaties and stays on the field for you. So hopefully that is the case. Rashawn Evans, actually my number one inside, true inside linebacker, not my number one linebacker, because technically another guy's listed at outside, even though I think he's going to play more inside. But true inside, Rashawn Evans, in the days since the draft has passed, this guy is growing on me in a big way. And I think he is well worth a late second round pick in your rookie drafts, and I think he's going to be an absolute tackle machine.
I think he's pretty much the closest thing to a sure thing as far as inside linebackers go.
I'll disagree, but I think Rashawn Evans is going to be fine. I always worry about the productivity of Alabama linebackers. Doesn't it seem like they all have character issues too? Like every single one of them does something stupid.
Yeah, he's going to stab a kitten here pretty soon. He'll probably stab a kitten. And, you know, smack somebody's kid and take their bicycle. It's just going to happen.
I watched way too much Bama football. I'm not really sure why, but he always really, really impressed me.
It was watching the national championship game. It was just like watching an NFL game with a linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, Rashawn Evans, he's very, Reggie Ragland-like. I mean, it just Reuben Foster, like that type of player that he's always there. But athletically, he's not jumping off the page to you.
He's not Reuben Foster.
Yeah. Reuben Foster is definitely a better athlete, but my point is he's not jumping off the page athletically. I don't think he's going to, you know, chase any running backs down, but he is going to be at the right place at the right time quite often. Very Preston Brown-esque, if you will. You know, just high football IQ, durable, big hitter. You know, someone who I don't think we also got to worry about Rashawn Evans getting a pick six and taking to the house either.
No.
But he in the running game, he's going to be just, you know, he's going to be productive. If he's got a starting, you know, definite starting job this year, 85 tackles, definitely not out of the realm possibility.
Definitely a size difference, but I comp him to Zach Thomas. I mean, this guy just loves the game. He loves to get his nose up there in it, and I think he's going to be very Zach Thomas.
You just wanted to mention Zach Thomas is all it was.
Well, I guarantee that's what it was.
It came to me, Zach Thomas isn't the current player. I mean, you know, I don't sit around and think about nothing but Dolphins players all day. I've got a wife.
I bet you lay in bed and stare at a picture of Zach Thomas with his giant neck roll.
It's actually Chris Chambers. It's actually Chris Chambers.
Just like petting it. You're like, Zach.
Not a duper fan, huh?
We miss you.
Well, out of this love fest and on to the next guy, Fred Warner was drafted as the third inside linebacker. I won't touch on him too much because he's a dart throw in fantasy. I think he's a good one because of the Alabama, you know, linebacker that we were talking about a minute ago that stabs kittens and puppies. But Fred Warner has a chance to slot in right away and play some important snaps for San Francisco. But the next guy on the list is my guy. This is a guy I'm targeting in every single draft. Josie Jewell out of Iowa. Football player. True, 100%, loves the game, football player. He's going to rack up tackles. He's going to be a starting linebacker by midseason for your fantasy team. So draft him while you can because he's not going to last. You know, you're not going to get him from somebody for a third or fourth round pick once we're halfway through the season.
The biggest problem with Josie Jewell is he's probably a two down linebacker.
I don't see that. So.
He's not a fast guy.
He reminded me of a lot of Pat Anker.
Okay, I'll buy that. But Anger, I feel like, was a little bit more of an athlete than Josie Jewell. Josie Jewell's a little bit slow. I think he ran like a 4.78. Like, that's a big question mark whenever you're chasing down some pretty dang shifty running backs in this year's, or this current NFL that we're in. And it's a pass first game. You know, the question is, if he's coming off the field in passing situations, obvious passing situations, are there times that he's going to be watching someone else play, even with a starting role? You know.
I think Denver will use those outside linebackers more in the passing game. I think Josie Jewell will still be asked to be that guy that plugs up the middle and causes confusion.
Yeah, they're going to be on the field a lot.
Yeah.
Denver will definitely be on the field a lot.
Well, no, you never know. It could be the Case Keenum and Royce Freeman show in 2018.
Denver could end up being like the Eagles, rotating guys in and out.
Which Jewell was pretty much the last guy on my list that I'm targeting. Neil, you got anybody on this list of linebackers drafted that you think could become something more than?
Well, it's another Homer guy, but I'm kind of high on Christian Sam also.
Of course you are.
So, now you're talking about people who are just solely inside linebackers, right?
Right now, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
True inside linebackers is probably.
That can all change in 2 weeks.
Because I think there are two what will be true inside linebackers that are we'll be talking about here in a second. People that are going to slide into the inside and never look back and probably be our top two overall production linebackers in this year's rookie class.
Well, since we're playing Homer tonight, I will throw out that I really like Quentin Poling out of Ohio. Yes, he went to the Dolphins, but the reason I like him is because there is opportunity there. Raekwon McMillan is slotted to be the guy in the middle, but he's coming off an injury. I think they drafted this guy as possible insurance. I think he could become, you know, a player somewhere down the line. Obviously, this year, it's going to be special teams, so I'm not telling you to draft him. I'm just speaking as a fan. I like Quentin Poling. He's right here out of Athens, Ohio, and to get drafted at all coming out of a school like Ohio, you got to be pretty good. I think he's going to be a good one eventually.
Don't disagree.
Roquan. Outside linebacker time, I think we all think Roquan's going to play in the middle, but he was drafted, designated as an outside linebacker. Rashawn Evans, I love him. I don't love him as much as Roquan Smith, though.
Roquan Smith, I've said it before, there's no reason for me to believe that Roquan Smith isn't going to be a top 10, maybe even a top 5 linebacker this year overall. I'm not talking rookies. I'm talking overall. They're 100% believe he's going to break 100 tackles this year.
I don't disagree at all.
I mean, someone please tell me the weak spot in his game.
I didn't see any. He's scary to watch.
I mean, you've got Rashawn Evans, who was arguably the best linebacker in football, watching the national championship game, because we go back to it. It's one freshest in the memory. And Roquan Smith made him look bad. I mean, shutting down a ridiculously productive Alabama running game. You know, Bo Scarborough looked like nothing whenever it came to Roquan Smith.
Not to mention, Roquan is the best cover linebacker out of this draft.
Yeah, oh, he's a three.
He's everything. He's the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I don't want to say he's a flawless prospect, because there's no such thing, but he's about 97% of a flawless prospect. I mean, I don't have any character question marks for him. He's going into a great spot to where he's probably going to slide right in and start. He's already he walks in day one. He's the most athletically gifted talent or linebacker on that entire team. He's probably going to be the hardest hitter. There's no doubt in the world that Roquan Smith is going to be the best cover linebacker on that team. And by the way, ridiculously smart guy. I mean, just watch any Georgia defensive play.
So you're saying he's an anti-Brian Cushing?
Yes. Just watch any Georgia defensive play last year. You will see the back of his jersey. And by the way, the camera follows the ball. So you're going to see Roquan Smith right near the ball. He's either getting the tackle, in on the tackle, or the first guy there standing up to grab the guy who just got the tackle.
Yep.
He's always near the ball.
This is your biggest IDP target. This is the only individual defensive player that you should be looking at in round one of any draft. And I'm not saying grab him at pick 8, 9, 10, but you can grab him anywhere from 12, if you're in a 16-teamer, from 12 to 16, and you don't have to apologize to anybody.
How soon do we see him go?
I think he went 15th or 16th.
Yeah,
which I thought it was pretty late.
Yeah, me and too.
That's what I thought. I thought that was a little bit late for him, because if I had picked 12, I'm taking Roquan Smith.
I probably am too.
I've been happy.
If he falls to me, yeah, absolutely. Especially if I had any kind of a hole on my linebacking core at all. Draft him with no apologies.
If you have a team that, you know, or a league, excuse me, it's heavy in points for tackles, I mean, guys, it's better to take a shot on him than a wide receiver that ain't going to play for 3 years.
He's going to rack up to 100-plus easily, including the assists and everything.
I mean, to me, and once again, very high praise, but he's what Chicago's been missing since Urlacher retired.
Yes, he is.
They definitely have not had that spot.
So draft him. Draft him now.
Who's next?
I like the way the linebackers fell in this draft, because this is how we thought the running backs were going to fall, how we thought the wide receivers were going to fall. Of course, we knew it never falls perfectly, but the first three linebackers off the board, outside linebackers anyways, and inside, to be honest, they fell where I thought they would. Maybe not the team, but the round, the draft capital. Tremaine Edmonds went in the first. I think we all thought he would go in the first, and he did. I think the Bills were elated to get Tremaine Edmonds.
And should have been.
And should have been. Now, Tremaine Edmonds, to me, like, I think the talent level is closer to Roquan Smith than the fantasy football level is. I'm not targeting Tremaine Edmonds. If he falls to me in the third, I'm going to go ahead and grab him, because I think he's going to be a good player, and I think he's going to be a solid fantasy asset. I'm not targeting him, so to speak, because he's not a safe bet for your fantasy team. He's a solid dart throw, a calculated dart throw, but I wouldn't go targeting him in draft.
Yeah. I would absolutely take him in the second half of the second round, even mid-second round.
I spent some dollars on him, I think, which I thought was well worth it.
If I would have had a second rounder, there's no doubt in my mind Tremaine Edmonds would be on my team right now.
I watched a lot of Tremaine Edmonds, too, being an ACC guy. I was very impressed with him. So,
I mean, the thing about it is he can rush the pass. He's fast. He's a 4.5, 4.40 guy. Playing, you know, if we go back 10 years in the NFL, there was like three of these playing linebacker, right? The rest of them were safeties and defensive backs or quarterbacks. But he's running a 4.5, 4. He's going to be able to track down pretty much any running back in the league. He's always going to have nose for the ball. And by the way, he steps into the role that Preston Brown left vacant.
A lot of Preston Brown today.
Preston Brown.
I agree.
Hey,
Arms is a Preston lover.
Set your watch by Preston Brown making a top 10 linebacker finish. I mean, he's 8, 9, or 10 every year. And Tremaine Edmonds is a more athletic version. He's not even a version of him. He's just a much better athlete. I don't know if he has the football smarts that Preston Brown does, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of people that do. But Edmonds is going to be an absolute stud.
I do like him, but I'm not, like I said, he's not a fantasy target. Like I said, if he drops to the third, I'm probably going to spend a third on him, because he's well worth it. I just, when you go from Roquan to Tremaine Edmonds, the consensus is first round, third round. That's a pretty big gap. Arms is not unjustified spending a late second on him, but he's just not one of my guys. One of my guys I do have, though, that I'm spending a late fourth on, and I've been landing him in a late fourth every single draft I'm in, Darius Leonard. Darius Leonard has a great opportunity, great landing spot. Indianapolis drafted him with a plan in mind. Fourth pick in round two. This guy was just a handful of picks from being a first rounder.
Yeah.
He's going to play.
They spent a lot of picks on defense.
They needed to.
Yes, they did. It's a lot of picks.
I also think that he's got a chance to kick inside.
Oh, I absolutely think. I think he will kick inside.
I mean, and once again, kind of the same thing. They kept trying to patchwork their linebacking core in literally since Gary frickin' Brackett. I mean, they've had nobody, but now they spend the draft capital on, small school, you know, South Carolina State. But Darius Leonard, you know, passed the flying colors. I want to say he had, like, a ridiculous amount of sacks last year, something like 17 sacks. You know, yes, it's a smaller conference and everything, but he was unblockable. And, you know, if you're getting to the quarterback with that kind of consistency, and, you know, he definitely put up plenty of tackles. I mean, the guy's an absolute stud. And, you know, if you took him over Tremaine Edmonds, if he ends up being the starting inside linebacker for the Colts, I think it's a coin flip.
Me too. But
for either one of them, if you took either one of them in the middle of the second, or, you know, even in the late second, I think you've got a good linebacker who's going to be very, very productive for you for years to come.
I agree 100%. And after Darius Leonard, I'm not big on Harold Landry. I don't think he's a fantasy prospect. Not big on any of the rest of these guys, to be honest, until we get to Oren Burks. I think Oren Burks is a solid fourth-round pick. The talent is there. Don't exactly like his landing spot because Green Bay is kind of set at linebacker, especially in the middle. But I like Oren Burks. I like Malik Jefferson as a dart throw because the Bengals never quite have the same guys on the field at linebacker.
It seems like it.
I mean, they're kind of in that same position as Dallas. You never know who's going to start 5 to 6 but games.
They did sign Preston Brown this offseason.
They did, and that is now their safest bet. Mm-hmm. Vontaze Burfict is bound to miss some games.
At least 4.
Yeah, and Malik Jefferson's going to get a little bit of opportunity to prove his talent. He's never lived up to his talent, but he's definitely going to get at least a 3 to 4 game audition at some point in the season.
And absolute speed demon, ran 4.52. He productive, not overwhelmingly productive at Texas, but it's also a very high flying, not a lot of running down in the Big 12 anymore. It's mostly passing, so you got to give a little bit of leeway there. I don't think he's necessarily a liability in coverage, but everything in the Big 12 is going downfield. It's wide receivers, not a lot of anything across the middle. I mean, I like his prospects. If he gets a chance to crack starting lineup, say they cut ties with Burfict, and it's him and Preston Brown starting, I could absolutely see him having a productive year 1 or 2.
Oh, I definitely think they took him because they plan on probably not having Burfict after another year or two. There's got to be a backup plan at some point. And
he's one targeting penalty away from sitting a season.
Yes. And I'll mention my last guy. You can mention whoever you want after this. But Shaquem Griffin is not just a feel-good story, in my opinion. I think Shaquem Griffin, in a year or two, is going to be possibly a solid fantasy asset. This guy's a playmaker. He's got sideline-to-sideline speed. He can get after the quarterback. And I think he's also going to turn into somebody who puts up more tackles than we all think he's going to put up. I like Shaquem Griffin. I've not seen him get drafted yet. I'm throwing football dollars on him everywhere I can and stashing him on my taxi squad.
They're saying so far in reports he's already starting to shine in the workouts.
Shocker.
He's going to be more of a pass rush specialist. I don't think he's going to be a big tackle guy at all at any point in his career. That's not based on the fact that he has one hand. It's based on this position.
He has one hand?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just thought it was a feel-good story because of his brother in Seattle.
That too.
Just kidding. He's a football player. Who cares if he's got no hands?
Yeah, I mean, he can do it all. And there's no doubt in my mind if Shaquem Griffin was born with two hands, he would probably have been the number one or two linebacker in this year's draft class going in the high first round.
I don't think the feel-good story just happens to be a bonus to this because I think they actually got a good pick in him so far.
They did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we called it, by the way.
You called
it. I called it.
And I like him. I'm picking him up for football dollars in every league I'm in. Like I said, not based on a feel-good story, but based on the speed, the athleticism, and the talent. And you know what? A guy that has heart like that, you got to take a chance on because he's going to make some things happen on the field.
So you're not a big Raekwon McMillan fan?
No, not really.
Do you think Jerome Baker has an opportunity to...
I think he does. I think he's a lot like Shaquem Griffin, maybe not the pass rush specialist, but the sideline-to-sideline speed and just the pure athletic ability. I like Jerome Baker a lot, but, he's a guy that I've picked up in a couple leagues for a couple football dollars, not spending a pick on him. But I love Ohio State guys, and that's just – Miami drafts them. Miami,
I can't believe how many Ohio State linebackers got drafted this year. Yeah, this is mind-blowing to me. And, to me, Sam Hubbard's always been defensive end, but, they've kind of got him – he might be defensive end, he might be a linebacker. I mean, it's I think Baker's going to be okay, but I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to spend any draft capital on him. I think that's probably one of the cutoff points to where I'd say, well – maybe I do take a chance on the 52nd wide receiver because I think I can get this guy for a buck or two.
Right, and you can. I mean, I've actually struck out on him. I think you got to spend at least 2 to 3. I've been putting a dollar on him everywhere, right, and I've whiffed every single time. Now I'm kicking myself. But
I've seen that, but I've also been bidding on the Moore kid out of South Carolina that went undrafted and got signed. He got signed by the Colts. He has a good chance of actually getting the spot there.
Absolutely. You could pretty much pick up any defensive rookie on the Colts that you want, and you've got a shot of him being relevant.
He had a lot of tackles a year. So,
On to DBs. Minka Fitzpatrick absolutely leads the way. I'm not sure if that translates to fantasy relevance. I mean, I think he will be fantasy relevant, but I'm not sure that he'll be your top tackle guy out of this class.
But he's also playing with arguably the best safety.
Yeah.
You know, someone right in the no doubt top three safety. And safety's not like linebacker. You don't typically have two safeties that finish in the top 10 of, you know, overall tackles.
Right.
Except unless you're the Bills.
I think it is debatable, though, fantasy-wise, who your best safety is between Derwin James and Minka Fitzpatrick. Fantasy-wise, I think, to me, the best playmaker is Minka Fitzpatrick. The best tackler might be Derwin James.
I trust Derwin James.
Yeah.
Well, Derwin James is going to knock a lot of balls loose. I mean, if you have high points for forced fumbles, Derwin James is your man.
He passes defense is a thing too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to knock a lot of heads.
I've seen these guys going early third in most drafts that I see. You can't go wrong either way. Whether you take Minka, whether you take Derwin James, whether it's like the last pick in the second or the first couple picks in the third. That's a solid place to land either one of those guys.
I wanted to take Derwin late second. I think he's worth it, really.
Yeah, safeties are, again, just even more important than top defensive ends sometimes is safeties. You win your leagues, in IDP leagues, by having solid defensive ends, solid safeties, a good linebacking core, and there's enough offensive talent in the league and enough offensive stat guys that you can fill that out. But if you don't have a good defense, you might as well forget it. And it takes years to learn that. So
I mean, I've seen people make it two rounds in the playoffs with two third down backs and a handful of number two receivers. Right.
Yeah, because they have stud linebackers,
yeah,
stud safeties, and at least one stud defensive end.
It's like when you have a healthy Bob Sanders back in the day or anybody of that
Bob
nature.
Bob Sanders.
When he is healthy, like if you had those guys that got you in the – if you'd be happy to have a safety in the teens – that's all you're going to actually ever hope for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, you can play this the opposite way. You can go heavy offense and then just meticulously grab guys that finish between 10 and 20 at those other positions, but your safest bet is loading up on defense.
Yeah, and back to the Minka thing, I've said it a dozen times. Like, if you broke down the last, 10 years, I think the top five safeties on a per-season basis are probably all Alabama guys. I mean, they're going to be up there, at least five of the top 10, no doubt. It's insane.
I think as far as your fourth-rounders go, possible fourth-round rookie picks, not guys drafted in the fourth in the real draft, but Terrell Edmonds and Jesse Bates, both worth a stab in the fourth. I like both of those guys. I think both those guys will be starting safeties on fantasy teams this year.
Edmonds definitely will be.
I think that's where it ends.
My only question about Edmonds is kind of the same thing as you got with Minka. I mean, Sean Davis is a stud.
He is. And Morgan Burnett, I believe, is there now.
And so, I mean, is Edmund going to kind of slot in as the nickelback? I mean, that's one of the questions you have. I mean, he's definitely a heck of an athlete. There's no doubt about that. But it's his first year. We've seen this before to where we've had very good safeties, you know, high-profile guys that kind of move into a situational type role. But this is today's NFL, and there's a lot of nickel ran. You know, a lot of five defensive back sets out on the field. It just makes me worry that he's going to have too much production from the other safety spot.
Dart throws. I like Justin Reed out of Stanford that went to Houston. I think there's an opportunity there to eventually be fantasy relevant. Ronnie Harrison. I think Troy Apke from Penn State is a dart throw. Ronnie Harrison is a little more than a dart throw to me. I think he's going to be a solid player. Jordan Whitehead out of Pittsburgh that went to the Bucks. Solid dart throw there. And my last one, I think Trey Flowers, depending on what happens with the Seattle safety situation, could be a dart throw as well.
I think Ronnie Harrison's probably already the best safety on the Jaguars. I mean, Barry Church is, you know, he's good, but I think Ronnie Harrison's probably going to end up taking one of those two safety roles and running away with it.
Well, they're going to have enough cornerbacks on the field to bridge that gap, I think.
Yeah absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but who are they going to pick on, though? Who are you going to throw at? A.J. Bouye or Jalen Ramsey? No and no.
Exactly. But
you know,
probably going to throw on Ronnie.
You're going to throw on Ronnie, and you're going to have a lot of tackles, a lot of pass defenses, and several interceptions. I mean, I like Ronnie. It wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the season we're looking at Ronnie Harrison and saying, man, I can't believe I picked him up either in the end of the fourth or picked him up for a few football dollars because he finishes a top 15 safety.
No cornerbacks to speak of. Denzel Ward, I guess, if you want to draft him, go ahead. But I'm not doing it. I don't have corners on my team if I absolutely can avoid it.
The Tre'Davious White effect.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, he's not going to be a reliable fantasy corner year in, year out.
But Denzel Ward could, is the Tre'Davious White effect.
Could, right? Have one
if year. They want to try to pick on him, if you're going to ever have Denzel Ward on your team, now's the time to buy and try to get rid of him for safety halfway through the season. Because eventually, if he is a lockdown corner, eventually they're going to stop throwing to him. But in the meantime, he's going to have a lot of tackles, a lot of pass defenses, and some interceptions. And whenever those numbers start boosting, for fantasy purposes, it's great. Until the NFL starts catching up with, wait a second, maybe we shouldn't throw at this stud. Maybe we should start throwing to the other side of the field. In which case, get your value out of him while you can.
To be fair, if he's actually getting thrown out a lot, getting a lot of tackles, he won't be seeing the field. So that's how most cornerbacks are. They're actually getting tackles. They're not doing their jobs.
True, true, true.
Very true. So there you have it, folks. Your tight ends, your IDP players of relevance. We'll have Nit back on the next episode, I assume. We appreciate Neil joining us tonight. And Arms, I appreciate you joining me tonight and actually sounding excited about stuff.
I'm always excited.
I'm always pretty excited about stuff. Yeah.
Dude, I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, me too. We're excited.
Yeah, I took a pre-workout like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I think next episode, it's time to bring back a little bit of debauchery. We'll figure out some kind of a top five list to work on. We need a little bit of that BRFS element back now that draft season is over. And it's time to only be 75% serious and 25% jackass.
I like being 25% jackass. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. You can hear it in his voice. He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bark out.
Good night.
Later.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.